Grace and peace to you in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, the one we worship this night throughout the season, throughout every season. Amen. We pray as we consider the Word of God. Lord, ever accomplish through your Word what you would desire to accomplish. May you do that this night, throughout Lent, throughout our lives, and every season. Work repentance, true repentance in our hearts and true faith. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, it's that bad time of the year again. When I was a kid growing up and we'd be driving to Ash Wednesday service in our station wagon there in Indianapolis, I remember thinking to myself, if not saying out loud in the car, oh no, it's that bad time of the year in the church. It's that time of the year when we sing all those kind of somber hymns and kind of sad hymns. As a kid, you like to sing all the joyous ones, the happy ones. And even as adults, we like those probably a little bit better. It's that time of the year when we have to kneel. And I know for older folks, you really don't like to kneel. And even the kids, you don't like to kneel that much. It kind of hurts, and you have to kneel and kneel forever. Bad time of the year, I have to kneel. And we think about all those bad people during this time of the year that treated Jesus so badly. You know, Pontius Pilate and Caiaphas and Judas and the soldiers. We got to talk about all the bad things that happened to Jesus and feel bad about it all. And then we're supposed to give up something in this time of the year. And that's bad too. When mom or dad says, we're going to give up ice cream. We're going to give up chocolate. We're going to give up this food or that food for Lent. It's that bad time of the year, I would think. Well, having matured a bit now, 48 years old, I realize, and I pray you realize, that Lent is not a bad time of the year at all. It's a wonderful time of the year, a good time of the year, a very special time of the year. What do Christians do during Lent, starting today, of course? What are we to do during this season? Feel bad? Is that what we're supposed to do? Look sad? Well, Joel tells us in the Old Testament reading what to do. Joel's basic summary is, be sorry. Be sorry for your sins. Declare a fast. Weep. Be sorry for what you've done. And don't fake it. Really be sorry. And Paul in the epistle reading would say, be reconciled to God. Repent and believe and be baptized. And do it right now before it's too late, because now's the day of salvation. And Jesus in the gospel lesson that I just read would say, you know, be humble. And be a genuine believer. Practice true religion, not this fakey stuff and this showy stuff where you're trying to show off of how good and pious you are. Get rid of all that nonsense and be real. Be genuine and be humble about it all. Yes, be humble, be reconciled, be sorry. Oh, may the Spirit work those things in our hearts. In summary, what we do during Lent is we as Christians, we behold. That's what we ever do during Lent, and really every other season of the church year. We behold the man. Do I need to mention who the man is? He is the man among men, the Lord of lords and the King of kings. His name is Jesus. We ponder Jesus. We meditate on Jesus. We concentrate on Jesus. We fix our eyes on Jesus, the author, perfecter of our faith, and we can't get enough of Jesus. We behold the man, Jesus. That's our theme through our Lenten services this year, behold the man. Do you know who first said those words in the Bible? I didn't make these words up. They're right there in the Bible. It's Pontius Pilate in John chapter 19. He has Jesus whipped. He has Jesus scourged in every way, beaten and mocked. And then he drags out bloody Jesus, beaten Jesus before the crowd. And Pilate says, behold the man. Kind of proud of himself of what he did to Jesus, hoping that they have some pity for him and let him go. Behold the man. Pilate unknowingly preaches a pretty good sermon. He becomes a prophet at that time. Yes, God is saying through Pilate, behold the man. Just who is this man, and consider and ponder what he's done for you. And so next Wednesday, we'll behold the man of prayer as we find Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. Then the next Wednesday, we will behold the man of patience as we consider just how patient Jesus is when he's put on trial before the Sanhedrin, before Pilate. Don't you want Jesus just to blast them all? But he's such a patient little lamb led to the slaughter. The next week we behold the man of punishment as he's condemned, mocked, beaten, nailed to a cross. He suffers the punishment of the entire world, our sins, your sins, the sins of the whole world. He dies from the man of punishment. The next week, the man of perseverance. He stays on the cross 6 hours. He doesn't jump off and say, forget this. When he's even mocked and taunted to do it, if you jump down, we'll believe in you. But he stays up there and he dies. He suffers hell and yells out, it is finished. The man who perseveres to the end and doesn't quit. And the final week, we'll focus on the man of power. Wow, what great things happen when this guy dies. There's an earthquake. The curtain tears and two dead people come up from the grave. That's pretty powerful stuff. This man is powerful. And we join the centurion. Behold, this man surely is the Son of God, not just a man. Tonight, as we begin Ash Wednesday, the word we use is passion. Behold this man of passion. That's a good word for the entire season of Lent, and especially Holy Week we'll come to here in a few weeks. It's the passion of Jesus. Meditate and concentrate and fix your eyes on the passion of Jesus, the deep, intense, powerful, eternal love that he has, the desire that he has, the desire he has, first of all, to please his Father. It's Jesus' passion for his Father. He loves his Father. He wants to obey his Father. He'll even submit to death for his Father because he loves his Father that much. Behold this passion for his Father to obey, which we don't ever want to do. And then behold this passion for his brothers and sisters. That's you and I. His deep, intense desire to save us. His love for us that takes him to a cross where he bleeds and dies. Suffers hell for us. Yes, behold this man of passion. Of love for his Father and for sinners like you and I that don't deserve it and we can't ever earn it either. Let's be clear. Why did Jesus go to the cross? He did not go to the cross because he had to. He didn't go because his Father twisted his arm in heaven and said, Jesus, somebody's got to die for these people. You go ahead and do it. As if he's forced to do it against his own will. That's not why he went. He didn't go because he felt obligated. Like many of us serve in the church because we have a sense of obligation. I don't want to do it, don't have time, but I'll do it because I feel like I have to. Christ doesn't die because he feels like he has to. Because he feels obligated. Nor does he merely die because he feels pity for us. I just pity these pathetic people. I guess I'll save them. He does pity us, but there's much more than pity. It's passion. He goes to the cross because he desires us as much as a man desires his wife. Passion. Love. I want you to be mine forever and ever and ever. Behold the man of passion. It is my prayer that as we are so filled with this love of Jesus, that as we meditate and concentrate and receive that love in our ears and our mouths tonight as we commune, that his love, his passion, his mercy and forgiveness so fills us that we would give up four things. You know, what are you going to give up for Lent? I have four things that we give up for Lent, not because we have to or we feel obligated to, because we're compelled by the love of Christ to do it. His love, if you will, fills our hearts so much, it just roots out these things. His love just fills me so much that there's no room for these things. Because his love is there. He is there. It's not I who live, but he lives. And these are four things to give up for Lent. And they're not ice cream. They're not the TV set. They're not deserved. Now, if you want to give those things up and you do it in faith secretly and don't brag about it, fine. God bless you. Do it. But do it in secret. Let nobody else know, as Jesus says. But these are much more important things to give up. He gave up his life that we might give these things up, compelled by his love and passion. Number one, let us give up doubting for Lent. That's his love, his passion. It would be in us that we give up doubting. Second Sunday after Easter, we're going to hear Jesus' words to Thomas. Stop what? Stop doubting and believe. And we can say that on Ash Wednesday. Stop doubting and believe. If you doubt God's forgiveness, look at the cross. When you look at the cross, how can you doubt that you're forgiven? When this guy died for your sins on the cross, behold the man of passion who said, Father, forgive them. You're forgiven of your sins. Don't doubt that. No matter what you've done, you're forgiven. Look at the cross. You doubt that God loves you when you have sickness and disease and you might be dying? Look at the cross. There's the evidence. He will never leave you, never forsake you. God did not spare his own son. Will he not give us all things? If God is for us, who can be against us? Stop doubting the love of God that somehow he doesn't like you anymore or has forsaken you. If you're dying, and you might be dying, you might know you're dying. Don't doubt that you'll have eternal life, that God will raise your body. Look at the cross and Easter for that matter. Christ died for your sins. He opened heaven for you. Stop doubting and believe. You know, when struggles happen, we often ask why. Why God? Why God? Why me? Why God? I got a better question. When you're struggling, ask where? Where? Where is my God? And where is your God? He hangs on a cross for you. And he washes you when you're baptized. And he's in your hands and your mouth as you eat of him. That's where your God is. He hasn't gone anywhere. Where have you gone? He'll never leave you. May we give up doubting because of the passion of Jesus. Secondly, let's give up pouting. It's time to give up grumbling and complaining. This is really giving something significant. Yes, give up pouting, church. Grumbling, complaining about life. I heard today on the radio where no longer does the tooth fairy give as much money to little children. And it made me sad. You know, a year ago, whoever calculates this nonsense figured that the tooth fairy by average gave $2.52 to a little kid. And now a year later, it's down to $2.10. Oh my! The kids can cry and moan and pout too. I don't have as much as I had last year. And gas is going to be $4 or $5. And who knows what else is happening? Stop grumbling, Christian. Consider the cross. Look at what your God's done for you. And the forgiveness and the love and the salvation that you have that you don't deserve. And stop pouting. Thirdly, stop shouting. I'm talking about shouting at each other. Fighting. Arguing. Stop holding a grudge. That's something to give up for Lent. Give up your grudge. Give up your anger towards so-and-so. Give it up. Because God has forgiven you. Forgive your brother. Forgive your sister. Give up your hatred. Give up your cold shouldering to somebody. Give it up. That's something to give up. As you consider the love of God, that he doesn't give up on you. He forgives you and has saved you. How can you not want to make peace with your brother? When we come to Easter and your family gathers, your friends, I sure hope you're not talking about the family feud. Yeah, so-and-so's not here. They're out of the family. May you talk about family forgiveness. We forgive each other. We made peace. We made peace with the friend over here, the enemy over here, the co-worker. And don't wait around for them to come to you, even if you've been hurt. You go to them in peace. Yes, let's give up doubting and give up our pouting and give up our shouting, our fighting, our arguing. And here's the last one. May we give up spouting, blowing our own horn like a big bunch of fat whales in the ocean. Look at how great I am. Give up pride. Give up ego. May the love of our God and Christ himself so fill us and the Holy Spirit. There's no room for me. It's he who lives in me. I'm out of here. It's not me and I. The world revolves around me and I. It's Christ and Christ alone. Give up thinking you're better than somebody else because you're not. And neither am I. So stop acting that way. Give up judging people lest you be judged. Give up gossiping and slandering people lest God would gossip about you, in a sense, and condemn you. Give up thinking that you're more religious than others. Look at me. Look at how pious I am. Give it up because you're not more pious than anybody else. Give up thinking so. Give up all that pride. You heard the words of Jesus. Give up the showiness, the fakiness. Now that's something worth giving up. Behold the man. Behold the man. Yes, Pontius Pilate has some good advice. Behold the man that we might believe and not doubt. Behold the man that we might be thankful and content and not pout. Behold the man that we might be at peace with others and not shout anymore. Behold the man that we might be humble and not spout how great we are anymore. Behold the man. Believe in that man. Bow down in repentance and faith before that man. That's Lent. That's life. Amen. Let's stand. May the peace of God that transcends all human understanding keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.